The prison of perfectionism, a kind way out. You can want to do something more than anything in the world and still feel too exhausted, too scared, or, in many cases, simply too buried under your own impossible standards to actually do it. The gap between wanting and doing may not be laziness, but perfectionism, and it's keeping you stuck in ways you might not even recognize. There is a more sustainable, kinder way forward, one that recognizes how perfectionism turns every small mistake into failure, and instead treats those moments as chances to start again through small, everyday acts of courage rather than grand reinventions. The all-or-nothing trap. Perfectionism often hides in everyday habits such as overthinking, overworking, and holding yourself to unrealistic expectations. While striving for excellence can be healthy, perfectionism becomes harmful when it fuels anxiety, self-criticism, and emotional exhaustion. Striving for excellence means doing your best and learning from mistakes, while perfectionism pushes you to be flawless and often leads to stress, self-doubt, or burnout. Recognizing the difference helps you gently hold high standards while staying healthy. Gordon Flett, a professor of psychology at York University in Toronto and a researcher in the role of perfectionism in psychopathology, describes the perfectionist's mindset as all or nothing. There only exists perfection and imperfection. There is no in-between, Flett told the Epoch Times. Extreme perfectionists often feel responsible for everything, he said, which is nearly impossible to delegate or ease up. Their sense of worth is on the line. Thus, many wins still feel like losses, only perfect is a win, and why rest can feel impossible. Over time, constant pressure wears down people's health and relationships. Flett suggested a few key questions to spot perfectionistic thinking. How frequently in the last week have you wondered, why can't I be perfect? I should be perfect. I have to be the best. I can't stand to make mistakes. If these phrases sound familiar, perfectionism may be running in the background more than you realize. Where perfectionism starts. Self-esteem is often shaped early in life. If you were valued as a child without having to earn validation with grades or achievements, you're more likely to grow up with a healthy sense of worth. However, if love or attention seemed conditional, dependent on being the best, it's easy to start tying your value to performance. The inner message becomes, I must achieve. I must be perfect to be loved. Over time, those standards become your own harsh inner voice. Research has shown that when children feel their parents' approval hinges on high achievement, they absorb those expectations and turn that judgment inward whenever they fall short, patterns that often persist into adulthood. A familiar refrain becomes, if you're not perfect, you're not good enough. The perfectionist mindset also alters how setbacks are experienced. Instead of seeing a missed deadline as one rough week, many perfectionists interpret it as proof they're fundamentally flawed. Studies on failure sensitivity suggest people with strong perfectionistic tendencies overgeneralize a single mistake into a global sense of failure. The result, starting and finishing tasks feels harder, because every effort feels like a test of your worth. Why try harder backfires. Fear of failure often fuels perfectionism. In 1978, educational psychologist Don Hamacek noted that neurotic perfectionists are driven less by a desire to improve than by a deep fear of falling short. When people are very sensitive to failure, they're more likely to put things off or walk away than risk doing things imperfectly. That can look like scrolling instead of starting, researching forever instead of deciding, or waiting until the last minute, so it feels like the deadline is to blame rather than your ability. Research published in 2025 confirms the gap between healthy striving and self-attack. High standards are linked to higher stress but also greater life satisfaction, while the self-critical side is tied to more depression, anxiety, and lower life satisfaction overall. Behaviors are established that drive perfectionists to avoid making mistakes, to overprepare, or to play small rather than risk falling short. Especially failures that are visible to other people. It's an exhausting way to live, Flett noted. While most people lower their standards a bit after a setback, many perfectionists feel they have to make up for every time they weren't perfect, so they overcompensate instead of easing up. Flett noted what he calls the perfection paradox: the more you seek perfection, the more you sabotage your chances of achieving it. Research has found that even psychology professors who held themselves to perfectionist standards were less likely to publish in high-impact journals. Shrinking your fears doesn't mean shrinking your ambitions, it means lowering the stakes of each step so your nervous system can tolerate taking action. You keep your drive, but you stop letting every move be a pass-fail exam on your value as a person. Start small, not perfect. If fear and perfectionism keep you stuck, the antidote isn't extreme action, it's small, imperfect steps. Evidence from cognitive behavioral work on perfectionism indicates that experimenting with good enough rather than perfect helps people build more flexible, sustainable habits over time. For example, you might send an email after one read-through instead of five. Turn in a project when it's solid, not immaculate. Let a friend see your house lived in, not spotless. Ask for clarification at work instead of pretending you already know. In therapy case studies, clients who practiced good enough behaviors learned that their worst-case fears, rejection, humiliation, total collapse, didn't materialize. Over time, that realization loosened the grip of perfectionistic rules and created space for greater self-compassion. Small steps are not trivial. Each time you let something be good enough, you practice trusting that your worth doesn't hinge on flawless performance. Each time you ask for help, you loosen the belief that you must carry everything alone. These gentle experiments help rebuild the sense of flexibility and humanity that perfectionism often erodes. Start over without burning it all down. Perfectionism doesn't just shape how you work. It shapes how you respond when things fall apart. A minor slip can spiral into "I blew it, I failed, so why bother at all?" Left unchecked, this pattern turns small mistakes into excuses to quit entirely. Flett and colleagues describe a perfectionism reactivity pattern. When life feels chaotic, some people double down on perfection, trying to regain predictable control by aiming for flawless performance. Perfectionists don't like ambiguity, don't like uncertainty. Chaos is the worst possible thing, Flett said. It's a coping strategy, but a costly one. When something inevitably goes wrong, it can trigger explosive reactions, blame shifting, or intense self-attack. Instead of using setbacks as a reason to tighten the screws, Flett suggests reframing them as normal, temporary disruptions and opportunities to practice self-compassion and self-forgiveness. Mistakes should be framed as learning opportunities, he said. There's a chance to also practice some self-compassion and self-forgiveness. He often invites people to imagine what they would say to a 5-year-old friend being hard on themselves. Beginning again doesn't have to mean burning your life down or redesigning everything overnight. It can mean gently adjusting your standards after a hard season, pausing to rest instead of pushing through, or choosing one small change rather than a total overhaul. Beginning again might look like going back to therapy, telling a trusted friend what you're struggling with, or deciding that this week, done counts more than perfect. Beginning again is where the shift from failure as a verdict to failure as intelligent feedback matters. When you treat each miss as specific and fixable, "I overbooked myself this week, I need clearer boundaries," you keep your identity separate from the outcome. Instead of asking, "What's wrong with me?" you start asking, "What can I learn from this?" You are not alone. A key part of a gentle reset is connection. Unmanaged perfectionism can isolate people, fueled by the belief that needing support means I'm a weak, Flett noted. Over time, this lonely pressure has been linked to greater psychological distress and even higher suicide risk. Spending more time with others in open, sincere ways can remind you that many people share similar fears and insecurities. If we get beyond the facades and the masks that people carry around, he said, we would be much more aware of how we're more similar than different. When you see that others also struggle and still deserve care, it becomes easier to offer that same grace to yourself. Beginning again, in this light, becomes less about fixing a broken self and more about returning, over and over, to a kinder way of moving through your life.